And sub sponsored World Wrestling Resource Conference call. We have Terry Brands on the call, and Terry just got back from Canada, and Ramos won the event there. Do you want to talk a little bit about your thoughts on the Canada Cup?
Yeah, hello, first of all, and then second of all, Canadian Cup was, you know, a good situation for Ramos to go in after that training camp in Phoenix, Arizona, and Coach Tom Brands and Coach Bruce Burnett really wanted him to get a competition since he's not going to Baku, and we decided to send him to Canada, and him and I went up there, and he looked okay. He looked really solid in the finals, and he did some things that he needed to do well. He did those things well, but he also had some really, really good reminders about how the Europeans, he wrestled a German in the second round, Ewald, and it was a good reminder of not letting them kind of hang out and control the pace, because when they have all that energy left and then all of a sudden they're jitterbugs at the end of the match, it can get a little dicey. And he ended up winning a one-point situation there where Ewald was in on his leg and was in a position to score with time running out. So, you know, that's a really, really good reminder, and that's really the reasons why you need to compete, is to make sure that you stay sharp through that stuff, and you don't want to have those things rear their ugly heads when you're at the World Championship. So, all in all, it was good. It's a victory for him. Got his hand raised four times and beat a pretty solid veteran German who's about 32, 33 years old, I think. And moving forward toward Tashkent, Uzbekistan in September.
Yeah, you said he's gonna go with the rest of the guys to Azerbaijan. Is that all the other world team members are competing, or
he is not going with the rest of the guys? They're bringing a handful of guys over there. Ruth and Metcalf among those guys are going to Baku to wrestle in that final Golden Grand Prix here at the end of July. They're leaving the 16th of July, and then they're going to spend, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 days there training, and then compete, come home, and get ready for that final training camp in Colorado Springs, the 10th through the 22nd of August.
And then today you had Matt McDonough at the University World's place third, and you said you watched some of that online. You found it on the Hungarian website. What were your thoughts on his performance?
Well, we had a gold. Caldwell won the gold. Kilgore was silver, and then McDonough was third. He lost to the Japanese guy in the semifinal. And it was, again, it was one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like the Ramos thing where you know, you don't want these things to come up, and the things that have beaten him or can beat him has ended up what beating him. And what I mean by that is, you know, when McDonough throws his legs back, he's really, really solid, and he can go to his go-behinds and things like that. And when he's building his leads, he's very, very solid. And the situation was there in that match, he got down, you know, it was 4-2, and then it was, you know, 6-4, and then all of a sudden it was 6-6. McDonough scoring the takedown, so he's winning on criteria with 1:05 to go, and uncharacteristically shut down. And I don't know where that comes from. You know, I know he spent a lot of time out in Phoenix at that camp, and I hope he's not getting it from there. But you know, a lot of our coaches are about that, as being able to shut the foreigners down and this and that. But you know, the guys out of our camp are best when they're building leads, and he kind of did not do that, and it cost him huge. It ended up coming into a situation where guy got to him, and then he actually got his legs back and then ran his legs back underneath him to try to hit some cheap tilts instead of keeping his legs back and going to his go-behind. And the final scramble, it ended up 10-7. It was 6-6 when that scramble hit. The Jap hit 2 2-pointers on him, and then McDonough came up on top in the middle of it, and that was the difference in the match. There were some dicey situations there where you probably could have thrown the cube, and not sure why they didn't throw that at the end of the match. It looked like we may have had a tilt somewhere, but at any rate, it was not enough to get into the gold medal match and then see what happens. The Japanese guy ended up winning that weight class, so And then he won his next match for the Browns against Ukraine. And then, like I said, Kilgore was silver and Caldwell was gold. Ashnault went 0-1. And those were the four weight classes that went today, with the rest of it continuing tomorrow for the freestyle.
Okay. And what other countries do you think are standing out right now at that World Universities?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a real hotly contested tournament where you have, you know, like, you know, last year or the year before, it was Taylor and Sargoush were in a weight class and things like that. So, you know, it was, you know, kind of, you know, Caldwell won. Kilgore lost to the Russian, I believe. I think Caldwell beat the Turk. The Jap won it at 57. So, you know, you got kind of a blend of things going on there. Probably with Iran not being there, you know, it can change things a little bit, but you know what? You're third in the world at the universities. It doesn't matter who was there. You're still third in the world at the university. So that's where I'm at with that. I'm not going to judge the competition more than that.
Did you know why Iran didn't show up?
I do not know why they didn't show up. And like I said, it you know, it's really irrelevant at this point.
And with Metcalf, you know, there was a nice article when he was referring to how much you had been training with him, preparing him. You know, he's probably going to Azerbaijan, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
He is. He is going, and that's what I was saying earlier. Him and Turbell and Ruth and maybe a couple other guys are going to be going to that. But, you know, that special wrestle-off is coming up in July with the 61-kilogram and the 70-kilogram weight class at Fargo. They're going to contest those to see who gets those world spots, those world team spots at those weight classes. So it's not a full lineup, and that can be the problem with splitting your trials. So, and that's probably a conversation for another time.
Yeah. And then the Schultz movie's coming out this fall, and it looks like the first version they had about 3 hours, and then they cut it down to 2 hours, and it looks like it's going to be coming out. And then Nancy Schultz was talking about making a documentary along with it, probably to make it a little more accurate. Some people are concerned about the accuracy, but either way, Dave Schultz was a true ambassador and legend in our sport. Do you have any special thoughts or memories with Dave Schultz?
Well, yeah, number one, Bennett Miller, the director of that movie, is, you know, revered in the industry, number one. Number two, to sell a movie, here's where I'm at with that. It's a great movie, because it's going to be Hollywooded up, if you can forgive my phrase there. But you know what? It's exposure for wrestling. So if he's got to embellish a little bit, or he's got to make a story, you know, let's see, what am I trying to say? If he needs to spice it up a little bit to get it to sell, that's a good thing for wrestling. So I know that Nancy's concerned, and I know that some of the guys that I've talked to that lived out there, you know, I knew those guys real close. I was, you know, relatively close. I won't say I was real close to Dave, even though I think that I was, but I was relatively close to Dave, and he really took a liking to me and Tom and took us under his wing, and we learned a lot of things about life and wrestling from Dave. So when you have that, and then you have this story, and it's a murder, and, you know, you have to be able to have another story that goes along with that to sell that. So it's not 100% accurate. Anytime you make a movie and you're going to condense it down to a two-hour entertainment piece, it's hard to get everything perfect right and get the characters in there and everything. You know, you have to combine, you know, five or six people into one person. You have to do that, or, you know, the movie would be boring and never-ending. You know, we don't want the audience to sit through, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years of what actually happened, and when it's not practical, it doesn't even make sense to say that, right? So that's where I'm at with that. Dave Schultz was an awesome person, an awesome coach for me, an awesome mentor for me, and, you know, a world-class wrestler. He, from memories, I mean, there's funny things that I remember, and there's serious things that I remember. The serious thing that I remember most was he showed me a hold that was, you know, I call it an inside out or an outside in. And when you hit it, he always said, now you got to have a go-to move that you can score on. And when he showed me that, that was going to be my go-to move on top parterre. And the thing that he cautioned me on that was, you got to be careful when you hit it because the officials aren't going to like it. It's extremely brutal. So that's maybe where the connection was with him and my brother and myself is, you know, we like to take that pain threshold and push it onto our opponent. And so when I learned that, I ended up being down in the Olympic semifinal match and hit it on DeBeer twice at the very end of the match, and they stopped it both times. So, you know, it was almost like it was prophetic, you know, reflecting back on the advice that he had given me about that particular hole. Some of the lighter moments are being in the dorms with him at the Pan Ams, you know, him telling me stories about when him and his brother Mark were younger. And how they would go overseas, and he talked to, you know, him and his wife were there, Nancy, and they talked to me and Tom, and then Dave would always say stuff like, man, I miss it so much when me and my brother traveled, you're so lucky, and, you know, and he's saying stuff like that, and it really gave you a perspective of, you know, if I'm going to be wrestling and my brother's not involved, you know, you got to be ready for it, because that's kind of where he was at, and Mark was actually a younger sibling to Dave, so... You know, that there's some memories there, some memories with wrestling with him on the mat. I mean, one time we were at a camp at the NCAA tournament and on a freestyle mat, and he put me in a hold. I couldn't move, and if I would have moved, I would have broke my neck. But if I didn't move, I was going to break my neck, and he put me in a situation where I was totally helpless. I was completely at his mercy, and he made no bones about it. He was extremely brutal with it, and he was forthright with executing it, and it didn't matter that I was 3-4 weight classes below him. You know, he was to the point where, you know, if you want to wrestle, you want to roll around, you want to spar, then, you know, you're going to take your medicine kind of thing. And I really appreciated that out of him, obviously, because that's really what I needed, and, you know, feeling his raw power reminded me a lot of wrestling with Gable, the few times that I wrestled with Gable, where you're just helpless. You know, you're paralyzed in their grip. You're paralyzed in their techniques and, you know, that kind of stuff. The other thing that I remember about him was that he had a lot of extreme respect for the military, supreme respect for, you know, firearms and hunting and, you know, shooting sports and things like that. And you know, he was a crafty outdoorsman that way. You know, he would use his wrestling training. He would build it into his hunting expeditions on the farm there during the deer seasons and stuff. And you know, he would climb, you know, hotel buildings at night when we were overseas and stuff, and just crazy things that he was, you know, he was just a, you know, almost like cat-like and freaky with some of the athletic things that he could do. I know he told me about him, or Nancy told me about him climbing the Golden Gate Bridge one time and things like that. And that's, you know, that was Dave. Highly, highly spirited with a lot of sense for adventure.
Wow. Wow, what an amazing guy.
Last time I saw him was in Vladikavkaz, Assyria in Russia. We were at a World All-Star match, and him and DuPont were there together, and things were starting to hit the fan, and he was so adamant about banding together, we'll get through it. You know, DuPont was starting to go off the deep end, and he was adamant about, you know, stay together, we're a team, it'll be all right, things are going to be okay, you know, because people were starting to panic, and he was all about, you know, remaining calm and staying together as a team. And that's the kind of guy he was, you know, band together. When things get tough, band together.
Wow, unify. Wow, there's even a scene in the trailer that shows DuPont kind of smacking Dave, trying to get him ready to be, you know, world champ, whatever, and motivate him. But I don't know, did you see any of that side in that part of the relationship? Or?
No, I did not. DuPont was fragile. You know, and remember, I didn't become a fox catcher until December of 92. So, you know, and then Schultz was killed in 96, and Schultz had been on the farm for 2 years by that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I came in later. Alger was kind of the pioneer for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club guys that came on with Foxcatcher, and Melky Ory was out there, and you know, they had a handful of guys living out there, but Royce was kind of the pioneer as far as bringing in the Hawkeyes, and it was just a natural fit after me and Tom got done in wrestling in 92. We went and visited DuPont in the farm in December of 92 after we had graduated in, you know, May of 92 from Iowa. And, you know, immediately DuPont took us on, and that's kind of when my relationship with Dave started was in that time frame in December of that year. So
I think I remember that. I was at the Hawk Club at 93. And you guys were in the Hawk Club, but then Foxcatcher brought you on, but you were still training as a Hawk Club at DuPont.
Yeah, that started
that era of a club kind of sponsoring athlete. You didn't have to be at the home base type thing, but maybe Sunkist was starting it before him. But so you did have a lot of history there. Wow, thanks for sharing. Those are powerful stories, and hopefully we'll get to know more about him as people start revealing those sides of him. I remember just seeing him warm up, and he'd have that little kind of Tai Chi with his arms swaying and kind of smile, but you didn't really know what was going on between those ears always. You know, it seems like he was calm but focused, ready to bring a storm out there.
Yeah, it was a different cat for sure. So,
and well, we'll probably end it here, but it is exciting this time of year. We got, what, Fargo in about a week. We got Azerbaijan World Championships, and a lot of competitions. Feels like the season never ends. And for you, you're just getting back from Canada, and you got World Training Camp. You're training these guys. How is your schedule with your with wrestling, and then you got your family, and you probably have your Eastern Iowa Wrestling Club, and you've got a lot of things going there. Do you?
Well, we have two guys wrestling in the cadet filas in next week. Carter Happel and Drew West made the FILA Cadet Greco team out of Eastern Iowa Wrestling, and then Carter Happel made the freestyle team at 58 kilos in the Cadet FILAs out of Eastern Iowa Wrestling also. So we have two high school aged kids going to that. So, and that's going to be in Snina, Slovakia next week. So look for that in 5 or 6 days on the internet. And they're out at camp in Colorado right now training. And you're right, it is busy. It's an awesome, awesome time of the year. And if you're not involved in freestyle wrestling, get plugged into it because that's the pinnacle of the sport, the Olympic gold medal. And instead of thinking about freestyle enhancing your collegiate season, think about your collegiate season enhancing your Olympic gold medal run. That's the advice I'd give to the youth out there.
Wow, that's great. Well, thanks, Terry. Have a great week, and we'll be back again next week.
You got it. I appreciate it. And as always, our appreciations to Defense Soap and Guy Seiko and what he does for us and, you know, really what he does for the sport of wrestling. So thanks a lot, John.
Yep. Thanks, Terry. Bye.